MJD is on the line. I was just going to say that has one of my all-time favorite nicknames ever in professional sports history, which is Pocket Hercules. He joins us now. What's going on, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We're doing good. So Pocket Hercules, one of my favorite nicknames. Do you have one when guys say, "Oh man," when you think that's the best nickname ever, what comes to mind?
Man, there's so many. I mean, I think everybody wants the GOAT nickname. I mean, that's why you play the game, for it to be recognized as one of the greatest to ever play it. But I mean, there's so many good ones. I used to like all of Shaq's. Shaq had like 18 of them, I think, and
Yeah,
it would be
he
like
did.
Shaq Fu, or whatever it might have been. But the thing with the nicknames is that it's less about your personality, or less about your physical attributes on the court, but more about your personality and who you are off the court or off the field. And that's the best part about it, is because they're talking about you. Like, someone cares enough to give you that nickname, because really, for me, only my family gave me nicknames. So it was awesome to have those.
So, again, we're joined by Maurice Jones-Drew, 2011 rushing champ, three-time Pro Bowler, and current analyst for NFL Network. My favorite Shaq nickname is easily the Big Aristotle. Like, there's just a
Right.
nothing comes close to that one for me. But when you said GOAT, I'm guessing that it's pretty clear that that's top of mind because you've also been watching the Michael Jordan doc. It's weird because football is such a different sport in terms of, yeah, you kind of have to have a little bit more of the, hey, I'm going to beat you mentality, because we're going to, it's just such a physical game. But was there someone that you played with that reminded you of Michael Jordan in any way when you were watching this documentary about just his mentality and the way that he approached the sport?
Not, I mean, it was football is a little bit different. I think there are a ton of guys that you hear around the league that have that instinct to go and end the game, or whatever guys are talking about, that love to win, that drive to win. I think what made Mike so special, though, and it's so hard to do, is that he was so his drive didn't necessarily take the team down. It uplifted everyone. Like, he found a way to get everyone to, if it was forcing everyone to lift in the off season together in Chicago, or if it was challenging guys in practice. And yeah, those things go overboard. I mean, in an NFL practice, at least every training camp, you get one fight, one or two fights, if guys are just tired of running into each other, and you just get frustrated, and it breaks out, and those things happen. But the way he was able to, be able to recognize when he went too far, though that's a really good gift, because sometimes there are a lot of guys that are like Michael Jordan in the NFL from all different backgrounds, and they'll do whatever it takes to win. But sometimes they don't recognize when you go too far. And I think I probably had a couple moments like that when I was playing.
So the NFL is going to get one of these documentaries. Next year, Tom Brady is going to have one, and he's still going to be in the league. And sure, it's interesting. I mean, speaking of the GOAT, I think it's pretty unequivocal that he is it. But is he the guy that you most want to see in a documentary series like that? Can you think of somebody else you would want to see?
So Tom Brady, the quick story. We're from the same area, and his uncle was my principal in high school. So, his uncle used to always talk about, how tough he was and all these different things. And once I got to the NFL, I got an opportunity to kind of, break down his offseason, what he likes to do. I think that it's a perfect person to have that type of documentary on, because you have one on Jerry Rice already. You have one on, the greats like Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin, a lot of guys, these other guys. But it's crazy for Tom to be able to play the way he's playing for that long, and you get to see a kind of, if they dive in on his nutrition, what he does in the off season, how he's able to balance, the demands of football, but also the demands of being a father and a husband. And so, I think it's going to be, because I really feel like The Last Dance was just basketball, right? And it didn't really go into, went a little bit to Michael's like golfing and his competitive spirit. But I'm really interested to see, what was it that forced Tom into doing what he's been doing in the off season, like with the TB12 stuff and the different supplements and all those things. Like, what happened throughout the course of his career? Because I want to say he started maybe like right after they won their first or second Super Bowl. You know, so what is that drive after you have success to keep being successful and those type of things?
Yeah, I would guess that some of the supplements and diet and the way that he changed his looks, the potential hair plugs, that if we look at the chart
potential.
Of when he started to date Giselle and when he started to change his look a little bit, like those two things, that there's going to be some correlation there. I have a feeling that all of a sudden going to parties with supermodels, Tom Brady was like, oh man, I gotta start approaching things differently.
We've
but,
all seen his draft day photo without his shirt on too.
Right,
he's
exactly.
The transformation.
But man, I just pictured.
I don't think he's changed much from there though, guys. Have you seen I think there was like something of him like on the beach and I was like, oh, okay. I mean, that is a goat body, I guess.
Yeah, no, he's putting it in now. I just pictured, though, his uncle, your principal, because, yeah, if guys make it to the NFL, here's a pretty obvious statement, that they were unbelievable in high school. They were dominant in high school, that you probably just were, like, I'm guessing that you have all your high school rushing records, everything like that, that your principal has come up to you going, you know, my nephew is quite the football player himself. And you're like, oh, yeah, no, I'm sure he's really good, man. Like, I'm sure he's just as good as me. This is a picture of him? No, for sure. We're definitely the same right now. And then he turns out to be Tom Brady.
No, well, so it's funny. I was in high school in 2001 when Tom Brady won his first one. So that's kind of where it came about. My high school, we have the United States record for wins ever, consecutive wins. So the high school I went to didn't lose for 13 years straight. So that was kind of his message was, it was awesome. I never lost a high school football game, but, you know, we would get pretty confident. We're 17, 18 years old. We feel like, you know, we're standing on top of the world. And his message was, listen, there's always someone better out there. And, you know, my nephew went to the another private school in the area, and he just won the Super Bowl. And we're like, who is your nephew? Like, you know, who is this guy you're talking about? And he goes, Tom Brady. And I was like, okay, yeah, right. Like, just because your last name Brady doesn't mean that, you know, he's your nephew. But I actually found this out, I want to say, at the Super Bowl in 2012. I was working the Super Bowl, and I went to Tom, and I was like, hey, man, like, off the side, I was like, hey, like, this dude that was my principal said, he goes, yeah. He goes, because I went to a Catholic school, so his name was Brother Chris Brady. And I was like, he goes, oh, yeah, my Uncle Chris Brady. I was like, oh, my goodness. I was like, dude, I wish I had a little bit more, you know, common sense back then. I would have been talking so much trash. But it was awesome. Like, you know, everywhere in life, like, especially in sports, you learn a lot. And, you know, what his kind of take was that, you know, I had this successful, you know, nephew that won the Super Bowl, the pinnacle of our sport, and he doesn't allow himself to get complacent. He doesn't allow himself to, you know, rest on his accolades and all the different things. Like, he's going every time. I think the moment, like, he used to tell us this quote that Tom used to say, and I didn't believe it until Tom said it maybe a couple years ago. I guess some guy at Michigan, he was like, you know, Tom, you know what my favorite ring is? And Tom goes, well, he goes, the next one. And that's literally how he plays. And so that's that same Michael Jordan type of mentality to go out there and get after it. I'm going to be biased because, you know, basketball is easy. If you get a big three, you can go in. You can pay for a big three. We've seen that multiple times throughout the course of, you know, different things. And in Toronto, I mean, you guys went out and got Kawhi, and it took you, and you guys won your deal. It's hard to do that in football because – so many teams try to buy championships, getting talented players, but it's about the cohesiveness and the understanding of, you know, different schemes and, you know, being kind of a chameleon. And to see the Patriots and Tom Brady do that for that long, like, really shows that he probably is the best athlete to ever play.
Well, I can't imagine being like a Michael Jordan as a quarterback, just in terms of, you can't be hated by your teammates, right?
No.
Like, can you have a successful quarterback who's hated by his teammates?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can.
I mean, you have to remember, there's 53 guys in the locker room. Not everyone's going to get along. But the one thing about football that I think really, you know, over the last – my last couple of years in the league was that no matter if you dislike the guy, you have to respect him. And so, yeah, you guys may not hang out. You may not have the same – you know, hobbies or different things or like the same girls, whatever, like the same places to go out. But as long as you respect someone, when you cross those white lines, that's all that matters. Now, when you don't respect someone, and that's, I think, the thing with the documentary is, yeah, people thought he was a jerk and he was, you know, sometimes went too far, but they respected him because they saw the way he worked and they saw how he practiced and all those different things. And that is the most important thing in sports, is respect. You don't have to like me.
Yeah,
I have a lot of friends that don't like me that I grew up with. It happens, right? We all grow apart sometimes. My mom and sister don't like me sometimes, but you know, they respect you, and then that's what pushes you forward.
That would make you not normal if you didn't have family members who liked you all the time. That'd be weird just to have a family who's like, "Mom, do you like me like all the time?" She's like, "Yes, son, I like you all the time." You're like,
You're not being yourself then.
Yeah, something's amiss here. I'm glad that we did go down the high school path today, just for one really random reason, which is that the Darnell Dockett high school footage was going around the internet today. I think CBS tweeted a link to it. I'm guessing that you've seen Darnell Dockett's high school football like tapes, right? The highlight that I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, man. He was a man amongst boys.
Yeah. I got to ask you, as a guy who played on a team that won 13 years in a row that didn't lose a game, who's the best high school football player that you ever saw?
DJ Williams. It wasn't even close. I mean, I know people like Darnell Dockett, and that's awesome. When I was coming out of high school, I was a freshman, and I was a freshman, he was a senior at the same high school I went to. He, at that point, was like 6'2", 230 pounds, and he was running like a 10.7, a 4.440. So people were saying, like, this guy is the next – he could go right to the league. Like, that was the thing when we were in high school. At that size, he played running back and linebacker, returned kicks and punts. Like, he did everything. And so, quick story, because we're really good friends now, and he's obviously much older, but I got a chance to play against him. And he, you know, after the game, he goes, why were you doing like all the stuff you were doing? Because, you know, like I'm trying to really get after him, because in high school, he used to put me in lockers and he used to, like, you know, beat me up and, you know, torture me and different things like high school kids do. And I finally got an opportunity to play against him, and I was trying to block him. I tried to run him over. I was trying to do everything I could because of what he did to me in high school. He was like, bro, that was like 6-7 years ago. I was like, it doesn't matter. People don't forget. Remember that.
I love that. It goes again. It ties into the Jordan doc of just, you know, so much of what is important in any walk of life is getting the respect of your peers and having that moment where, yeah, someone you admire, you go out there and you try to gain their respect. But when we're talking about the differences between basketball and football, it's like, okay, if a guy matures physically like that, where we say, quote unquote, he could go straight to the league in high school, it just means that he's going to dunk on some kids and it's going to look like a mismatch. In football, it's like when those dudes happen, when the DJ Williamses emerge, when the Darnell Dockets emerge, it's like you have to get your ass kicked for an entire football game. You can get smoked by a dude who's ready to be in the NFL as of today. And that to me is just where it's like, oh my God, that's such a different sport. That is such a different idea that you would put your kid out on the field and they would just get run over by DJ Williams for the entirety of a game. And that you would watch one snap and not just be like, shut it down, everybody. Never mind. That kid's not allowed to play against the other kids. We got to put him in the NFL tomorrow.
Oh, I mean, like, the thing about it, too, sometimes is it's the physicality. Let me say this, too, because a lot of kids, like, I remember I was in Jacksonville. We saw Derrick Henry play. And Derrick Henry, he might be the second best high school player I've ever seen in person because – well, it wasn't fair. You know, you see how big he is now compared to, like, the NFL players. Imagine him against high school kids. It was unbelievable. And so, but the thing about it is you have to be mentally prepared for that NFL. And I think that's what college and all those other things go for. But, I mean, I've seen Derrick Henry take, like, a handoff and drag, like, 7 kids 100 yards, I feel like. It was just like kids were running away from him. It was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Those highlights. I think it's Haloti Ngata has one like that, too, where he was like a running back for one point when he was in high school. He's like, he's just like, his kid's trying to tackle Haloti Ngata with the football. It's like, what are you supposed to do? There's like 8 of them hanging off of him. It's like Space Jam when they're grabbing onto Michael Jordan and he's stretching to the goal line, except for instead of them holding him in place, he's just running through people. I love it. Hey, man, this was awesome. Maurice Jones-Drew, thanks for doing this, pal.
No problem at all, guys.